Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up?
Hi everybody, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters, and also we just cannot fucking get our technical shit together.
Oh boy.
Well, I don't know what this wee shit is.
Okay, I can't. That's basically accurate. Let's give a quick rundown. I'm Zach. Joining me this week, we have Mike.
Hi, am I really here?
Yes, you are. You are here at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday because of some shit.
All in life is fleeting, as we've learned. Like, nothing lasts. It's all dust in the wind.
Matt's here.
My name is Matt. I'm here, and I'm really stalling for time because I'm currently watching a fucking Power Rangers episode on some bootleg-ass service, and there's no subtitles, and I really need to watch it, and I really need some free time to do that, so there we go, hey.
This is the level of quality that everyone has signed on for, and Luke is joining us.
Do you think that a jellyfish destroyed your recording?
I mean, it would have to have been a cyber jellyfish of some kind.
Yeah, why not?
Oh my god, I don't even have Netflix. That's how fucking low budget my end is.
You know, a cyber jellyfish would be a scarier monster than what's actually in this episode. So, like, there you go. So yeah, in case you haven't guessed, this is our second go at this. I fucked up and I don't know what happened exactly, but the recording got corrupted. So we're doing this again for you, the listener, because Luke made me.
Uh-huh.
I was all like, we're just going to skip it. And Luke said, no, you've signed up for this.
The blood pact insists on it.
Yeah, the blood pact demands that we re-record this episode. So that's what's going to happen.
Just to be clear on our mental state, we are doing this A, in a hurry. B, Zach, Luke, and I have not watched this episode in, I don't know, a couple weeks. Matt is watching the episode for the first time right now.
Like, so, as we speak.
The time capsule, and they're waddling away, like, really fucking slowly, and the Rangers, I think, said put that shit down, and then they're like, fuck, busted, and just teleport out, I guess? I don't know.
But listen, we're gonna make this happen, and we're gonna put on a good show for you, because we are professionals, We are seasoned amateurs, even in the face of adversity, so...
Best phrase for it is seasoned amateurs.
Listen, we're on Cutthroat Kitchen, and somebody just gave us a fucking bent skillet, and we're going to make this happen. I've been watching a lot of Cutthroat Kitchen. Anyway, so...
Is Cutthroat Kitchen a show where they have to cook with broken utensils? Is that the
show? Dude, Cutthroat Kitchen is so fucking good. Okay, so
it's like half Iron Chef, half, like, Kids Double Dare.
Cutthroat Kitchen is a show where you have four chefs and they get $25,000 at the beginning of the episode.
Okay.
And Alton Brown is the host and he lets you bid on, like, sabotages you can give to the other contestants.
Okay.
And then whoever has the best dish wins, but you also only the winner only gets to keep what they have left.
I see.
So, like, you want to bid low, but still, but the shit that you can bid on sabotage-wise is, like, One time, a dude had to make an omelet on the bottom of a frying pan, so the eggs are just, like, running off constantly. The one I just watched, it was literally a skillet that they, like, bent in half, and then they were like, here, make crepes on this. Fuck. Just do it. That show's great. All right, let's talk about Power Rangers instead.
No, stall for more time.
So, who would be the best chef?
I gotta go to work.
Which ranger would be the best chef?
Trini.
No,
like,
because Trini...
established.
No,
you're right.
Established that Trini makes, like, weird garbage-ass, like, healthy food that sucks balls.
She would have the most, like...
escargot brownies.
Yeah, she would have the most interesting,
Like, that is the kind of thing a chef would make. Like, that sounds
gross to us. Friend that is always, like, pulling up new recipes on Pinterest that sound awful to everyone but her.
Yeah, that's true. She would be the most adventurous, anyway.
Kimberly, like, taught a home-up class.
Oh, that's true. She did. I forgot about
that. And I feel, like, incredibly shitty that our immediate answer to that question is, oh, who cooks the best? The two girls. But that's the show we have.
Well, I don't think
the only other character who makes anything in the show is Bulk, and he just makes sandwiches.
I don't think Billy or Jason would be good chefs. Zach might be.
No, Billy made that cake machine.
Yeah, but that's cake machine fucking sucked, though.
Well, presumably he gets it working at some point.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he must have, because it makes all the cakes that Bulk falls into.
Right, we talked about the Infernal Confection Engine.
Yeah.
Anyway, did we talk about the Infernal Confection. What the fuck?
Don't worry about it.
You don't worry about it lately. So let's move on. I do want to go over one more fact nominal, even though we're doing this for a second time, and not too much preamble. But basically, if you've been following the comic they've been putting out, or even if you haven't, there's now a Kimberly Spotlights miniseries. It's a 6-issue miniseries that takes place after Kimberly leaves the Power Rangers. And the reason it's cool mostly, well, I mean, whatever, Kimberly's a cool character, so it's enjoyable. But the most interesting part of it, for our purposes, is what it does for the lore, which is that, so if you haven't seen into season 2 of Power Rangers, spoilers, all the Jason, Trini, and Zach all leave the show, and they use a tool called the Sword of Light to transfer their powers to the new Rangers. Later, Kimberly leaves, and she just doesn't do that. She just hands her coin to the new Pink Ranger and was like, here you go, and that's it. In this comic, she is somewhere where some monster shit is going down, and she contacts Zordon, who's like, no, sorry, the Rangers are in fucking space fighting monsters. Like, my bad. They can't help you. But because you didn't use the Sword of Light to transfer your power, you still have, like, the seed of the Pink Power Rangers powers in you. And he uses the Sword of Light to, like, reactivate her. But because there's already an active Pink Ranger, basically her costume looks completely different. And it's pretty cool costume. But also they make it clear, Zordon makes it clear that he is only able to do this because this power is all basically coming from him. So what that means for the, like, lore is it kind of ties into how, you know, the White Ranger, when Zordon and Alpha make the White Ranger, he looks different than the other Power Rangers. The Green Ranger's powers come at least partially from Rita, and he looks different. So it looks like you can, like, modify the powers, but it causes them to look and behave differently. Kimberly also has, like, a straight-up superpower that nobody else has in this comic, where she, like, basically DBZ charges up, and, like, a big aura comes out of her, a big pink aura. Right. And knocks a bunch of bad guys away. So, like, you can edit the Power Ranger powers, which I think is really cool. Like, that's neat to me. It also explains why all the Power Ranger powers are different, like, in the other seasons. Because, yeah, you know, like, this one uses this different morpher, so they look different. I don't know. I just thought I would bring that up because it's really cool. I don't have that much to say about it other than it's neat to me, and it kind of, I don't know, I grasp at straws for any consistency in this show.
Right.
So for them to kind of tie that stuff together in the comic makes me happy. That's it. Anybody have anything to say about that?
No,
all right, good. Shut up. We're moving on.
Okay, listen. Before we jump into the episode,
uh-huh.
Like everyone feels a little rushed, a little panicked. I want everyone to just stop for a second, take a deep breath, just relax. We're going to get through this.
You know, that felt nice.
Yeah.
That actually did feel good. I'm real tense today. That yeah. helped. I appreciate
listen, it. We just need to just tone it down. it does us no good to just rush through this episode like crazy people because we're going to get it done right now. No one's going to like that. We got to bring the same level of quality we always do.
So like right. a four.
To say garbage.
Yeah.
So I was about to say, so what you're saying is to not do anything you just said and rush it and just half-ass it. And just,
what I'm
because
saying,
that's what I always do.
What I'm saying is we clear the bar of garbage. Let's not sink down to shit.
Yeah, we're a four. I would
yeah,
give us that.
We are a
I
solid
think.
4.2.
Out of 10, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, I'm not at a 5. We're not that good.
Oh, God,
Jesus.
No.
Shit.
Let's not be crazy.
Can we be a 4.20?
Yeah.
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 Hey, for those in the audience who don't
we're recording it,
it
during E3, and that means
wee jokes.
Well, so much for not.
And now we're at 3.5. Just boom. 0.7 down the drain right there.
Later after this recording, I want to talk to you guys about Ubisoft's E3 press conference, but not right now.
Yes.
You mean wee jokes and racism?
Yeah.
Man,
can
we talk about
like,
that new.
Wait,
can we talk about that
should
new
we talk
Zelda?
About Injustice 2 because we're a DC Superman podcast also?
No, we're yeah. going to talk about Zelda because that shit looks fucking fire. God
damn.
Right.
We talk about Zelda on this podcast. We talk about Power Rangers and we talk about Superman and occasionally Power Rangers.
Do you Fuck think you, Mr. Mixoplicatable will be in...
I wish.
No, he won't. I wish, but no.
Yeah.
All right, so this is episode... I'm calmed down. I feel better now. Thanks,
yeah,
Luke. I appreciate
welcome.
It. This is episode 47, Reign of the Jellyfish. And it starts at school. And I think,
Miss Appleby's back. We haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah,
we had a couple
say,
episodes
he's...
where, like, Mr. Kaplan was like, oh, I'm gonna teach because Miss Appleby's sick today. And we're like,
right.
what
she
the
was
fuck
like,
happened to
had,
Miss Appleby?
She's been, like, battling with cancer off screen. And she's
or
finally
like,
got a clean bill of health.
Or depression, or alcohol addiction, God. Or something like...
I feel like I went dark, and then you went darker.
Zach's just like, oh yeah, Miss Aspleby's totally, like, just stoned
wait,
out of her
hold
mind.
On. Hold on, rewind the tape, 1 second.
Hold on,
Matt, did
what's
you
up?
Say Miss Assholeby?
Did I?
What?
I
don't
you
fucking
did.
Know. Did I?
If you made that joke by accident, that would be pretty great. I don't think so.
I think I did. Okay, so this is what happened, viewer. I woke up after a nice nap. I look over, and I get a Twitter notification that says, hey, TWA crew, we're doing a podcast. Get your ass on Skype. That's exactly how it went. That's exactly what Zach said. So I literally rolled out of bed, walked my dog, came back here... came into a Skype call with these chuckle fucks like yelling at each other, and I just feel like grandpa in the room with all the new kids. I'm just so fucking confused. I don't even know what's happening right now. Help me.
Well, don't worry
okay,
about
well,
it. But basically,
what's happening right now is Miss Appleby is showing the class a time capsule, and this is a see-through plastic giant orb. It is like a fucking massive, like 5 foot across Pokeball.
Yeah, it's like a gashapon that could fit, like, a large goat.
Oh, yeah, this is when I realized that Pokeballs were supposed to look like gashapon.
We're just going to keep remembering jokes we made last time, huh?
Yeah, that's good. All right, so, yeah, she's got this giant fucking ridiculously huge time capsule. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, is it bad the first thing I thought with this giant, like, not gotcha time capsule thing is, boy, they could stuff a human being in there. I wonder what the least favorite student going in that thing is going to be.
They should just shove Bulk in there. That would
yeah.
be... I mean, that's about the level of shittiness that they are to Bulk on a regular
this
basis.
Is,
so.
When she's not at school, Miss Appleby is actually running the meth trade with a former student. And
oh,
when they have
yeah,
to kill somebody, they cram them into one of these balls and just fill it with acid.
So, So Miss Appleby tells all the students, and by all the students, I mean the Power Rangers, because they have names, and if you don't have a name, you don't get to put shit in the fucking time capsule. So, Jason comes up, and my wife was watching this with me, and she literally just said karate trophy, and then Jason pulls out a karate trophy.
He says it's the first one he ever won, and he claims that it's to show future generations that you can do anything if you believe in yourself. Right. We all know that he just wants to show off his karate skill for the people 100 years from now.
Yeah. We all know that in his fantasy, when the people of the wood-starved apocalypse of Earth want to know who's responsible for the destruction of all lumber, they can look upon this graven image in despair.
Do you think the engraving just says, "It was me"?
Man, the like second grade karate tournament trophy maker really didn't know why he wanted it to say that, but they just rolled with it.
So he walks back to his seat, and I'm glad we're redoing this because I didn't notice the first time that he gives Kimberly finger guns on the way back to his seat, which is ridiculous.
Why would you do that?
I don't. Because he's an idiot. That's why.
Okay, I don't understand human interaction very well. So
I think the show writers intended for it to be like, oh, he's saying, "Kimberly, it's your turn," but like, you don't finger gun people.
He literally does the thing with his mouth where he like clicks. So Kimberly comes up and she puts clothes. She just has clothes. That's it.
Yeah.
And she says
it's to show that we have the freedom. Yeah, she says it's to represent that we had the freedom to choose what we wanted to wear, and like, I guess she's assuming that the future is going to be a twisted apocalypse where no one gets to choose their clothes.
Right. Well, once Jason destroys all the vegetation, there won't be any cotton. Everyone will be wearing like tarps.
And also she says, well, you know, and also, this could maybe start a trend in the future, so it's also selfish. She's trying to influence the future fashion through this.
And okay, Zach will be, like, looks at her and is like, oh, so it's about, like, self-expression and individual style. And she, like, does a head motion and looks at her like, oh, thank God someone finally gets it.
Yes, yeah.
Like, how many people have told her this was a stupid idea? For her to have this reaction.
Yeah.
Probably a lot. Also, like, I get that, you know, fashion resurgences of old styles happen. They usually don't jump back 100 years, though.
Also, no.
I don't think anyone's ever been like, oh, we discovered this, you know, 19th century dress in a time capsule, and then people start wearing that.
Do you think by the time capsules are, like, supposed to be dug up that anyone will bother?
I mean, surely some of them already have been dug up, right?
Do you think so? Because they usually say they're not going to be dug up for, like, 50 years or whatever.
Yeah, but surely some were buried in, like, 1950?
Do you think so? I really don't know when that started. I'm honestly not sure.
I seem to remember a time capsule from the 50s being a crucial plot point in that Nicolas Cage movie Knowing.
Yeah, that's... Yes, you're right.
That is true. Yeah. Good fucking pull. Well done.
They put the ship back in the time capsule for another, like, 50 years.
Yeah. So, at this point, Trini asks, because she's a butt kisser, and I'm just going to attribute as many, like, negative traits to her as I can.
Dump on her as much as we want, because Joel's not here.
Because Joel's not here, yeah, exactly. So, she's like, well, are you gonna put anything in there, Miss Appleby? And she's like, yeah, this picture of the Power Rangers that Alpha sent me in his press pack. Because again, I don't understand where they got this picture of the Power Rangers that is them getting ready to shoot the big gun weapon.
In fairness's name, it's a pretty badass picture.
It is! I just don't know why it's widely available.
If you saw the high-res version of it, there's something in the corner that says, like, artist interpretation.
Oh, okay, yeah, artist rendering. Yeah. Sure. So...
But she says it so that we never forget their... how much they've done for us to protect us from the forces of evil and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and by the way, great job throwing our troops under the bus because they've never protected us from the forces of evil or protected our freedoms. Good one.
Just fucking out of nowhere bringing up the troops. All right, yeah, GOP absolutely. Senator Matt. Okay.
So, is the Gulf my War family. Going on at this time?
No, I actually looked. It's
what? Why?
Because Matt brought this up before we started recording.
I had family in the Gulf War, and the refusal to acknowledge the sacrifices of our boys overseas shocks and disgusts me.
This was 94. This episode was 94, so the Gulf War ended in, like, 91. So,
okay, but for real, Matt, are you running for Congress right now?
Oh, trust me. Like, if I wanted to run on a veterans campaign, I'd be way, way shittier about saying support our troops and then voting to send our troops overseas to the desert wonderland for another fucking 10 years.
Well, how can we support them if they're not doing anything?
Exactly. So, we cut up to the moon, and Rita has a pretty...
Speaking of Congress...
Yeah.
Evil Space Witch is like, hey... I should be remembered, not the Power Rangers.
Yeah, which I love that motivation. It's great.
Or the United States military.
Her motivation is that she wants to be remembered. The problem with that is that her plan doesn't really tie into that. We'll see.
Wait a second. Hold on. That's her motivation?
Yeah, she says she wants to be remembered, not have the Power Rangers be remembered.
I think, repeatedly destroying a city filled with, like, fucking people did that. You're probably good. Don't know.
Probably.
Is Kimberly throwing the horns in this picture you just sent me?
No, it's a still from when she was pointing to Miss Apple, be like, yes, you got it, you get me.
And oh, gotcha, yeah.
Yeah. Puzzle. She's making a very silly face.
So that's what she says.
They line up the plan, which, like, it's important to... Normally, we don't really need to bother with Rita explaining her plan, because it just kind of happens. Not this time. So Rita says, okay, Squad and Babu, I want you to go in there and put a picture of me in their time capsule before they can bury it.
Uh-huh.
That's not what's going to happen.
No.
And also, I love the idea that she's going to steal the time capsule and then give it back, which is like this, which, again...
Well, no, we're going to get to it. That is not what she tells them to do, and it's not what she wanted them to do.
No, but also, what I was going to say is, like... You know the Power Rangers. Just fucking ask them to put your picture in the fucking time capsule. They'll do it. Like,
just imagine the deleted scene. Rita gets rejected. Power Rangers, put me in time capsule. No. Power Rangers, stop being fucking dicks and put me in your time capsule. No. Oh, fuck all y'all bitches.
Let me ask you this. If Rita came to the Power Rangers and said, I'm done being evil, I want to be a good guy now, like, will you trust me and, like, let me in so I can help you? As, like, a trap. And they're gonna agree to it. And she's gonna, like, double-cross them.
Of course they are, yeah.
But if she turned around and did it the next day, how many sequential days could she do it before they stopped trusting her?
Oh, I see. So you're saying, of course they would believe her the first time, but right. How dumb are they exactly?
Right, exactly.
They're infinity dumb, though.
How many times would they fall for the same trick?
I think...
This could happen every episode from here on, and I wouldn't blink.
No, I think she couldn't do it literally the next day, but I think if she waited a year, they would absolutely fall for it again. Or a month, even, honestly. Like, I think they're that stupid.
Just wait until they change out for a new set of Rangers, because Zordon's not paying attention.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah. Just wait until they get new Rangers, and then try it.
Right.
But yeah, so we cut back down, and Zach is like, I almost skipped Billy, who says his personal computer with the latest software, it's a TI-84 calculator, is gonna go into the...
His thing is, he says it's going to show off how advanced we were to the, to the people of the future. And I'm like, I'm just looking at this now, like, just only being, like, I don't know, 15 plus years later, this thing looks fucking ancient.
So we get two versions of the future.
Like, the Power Rangers are totally convinced the future is going to be horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. We get two versions of the future in Power Rangers. There's Time Force, where they have time spaceships that travel in time by getting punched by big robots hard, which is how time travel works. But they have super technology, and we have RPM, where their technology becomes so advanced that, like, Terminator happens, basically. So, yeah. I don't think anybody's going to be impressed by this, buddy.
But no, but he thinks that because he thinks the world is going to be, like, Mad Max.
Wait a minute, Luke. So, are you saying that the Power Rangers predicted, like, the millennials?
I'm saying they think, like, Kimberly thinks it's going to be 1984. Billy thinks it's going to be Mad Max.
Because they think there will be no technology, yeah.
Right, yeah. Zach, I get thinks you. It's going to be Footloose. Okay, that's different.
Well, okay, we'll get to Zach in a second. But the thing with Billy is, like, he's acting like this computer super advanced. Billy, you built a flying car!
Yeah. Like, yeah, dude.
This stuff isn't even advanced for you!
An automatic cake machine, it would still be pretty impressive today. Like, yeah. You do that. I mean, I guess it's too big, but still,
it's
like...
It's basically a 3D printer at this point, right?
Yeah. Wait, can 3D printers make edible things?
They can make candy.
They can.
Oh, fuck, yes.
Yeah, I've seen, yeah, like 3D... prototypes that are, like for carnivals and stuff, where it's, like, we'll take a photo, like, you sit down in this booth, and we'll take a 3D photo of your head, and then make a 3D print a chocolate mini head of you.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Like,
so
I know, like 3D printed like polygonal candy is something people sell, like in crazy, like, you know, dodecahedron shapes and shit like that.
That's pretty cool.
Is it bad that Luke just talked about eating your own head? And my immediate thought was, oh boy, all my auto cannibalism fantasies have finally come true.
Not there a Weird Al song about eating your own head.
Listen, there's no. This is a no shame zone. All right. So, next, it's Zach, and he says he's gonna do...
Zach is, in my mind, the actual, like, most clear thinker about, like, what should be in a time capsule.
Yeah.
Because he's putting in a CD of contemporary music, and he says, like, and he says, music is a really good indicator of the culture of a time. And, like, yes, that's it. Like, that is the sort of thing, like, bits of pop culture is what you should be putting in a time capsule.
Also, I think he calls them slamming tunes. But, you know, that's fine.
Which is also something that belongs in a time capsule, is phrases like slamming tunes.
Zach, last time you brought up, like, the Billboard Top 100 from this year.
Yeah, so I went and looked for 1993's Top 100, since this was aired in, like, early 2014, or I'm sorry, not 2014, early 1994. And I have some things that I think might be on there that I want to go over. First, a couple Janet Jackson songs. That's the Way Love Goes. You know, Zach has, like, a bunch of Janet Jackson posters on his wall. There's no way he doesn't. Probably Nothing But a G Thing by Dr. Dre and, Snoop Dogg. You know, I think that Zach is pretty squeaky clean, but also he can just enjoy that stuff too. I think
probably Two Princes by Spin Doctors.
I hate you. You did this to hurt me, didn't you?
No, Zach's too good for that. He definitely will have Whoop There It Is, though.
Whoop There It Is.
Two Princes kneel before you. That's what I said now.
Somebody just...
Princes!
Go over to Zach's place. You. Put your fingers on his lips and shush him. Just make him stop saying words right now.
Did you just call Luke Zach?
He did. It's okay, though.
I'm tired. Okay.
Don't worry about it. I think he probably has Informer by Snow. Shaker is probably on there. And definitely.
Bad Boys by Inner Circle.
Yeah, Bad Boys is probably on there. But last but not least, Boom Shake the Room by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. You know that Zach fucking loves Fresh Prince. Because he is...
Well, everyone loves Fresh
Prince.
Well,
yes, but also because he,
like,
is...
even white people, so...
He is as squeaky clean as they come, so there's no way he's not way into this.
You know what? I think Rhythm as a Dancer is going to be on there, too.
Yeah.
Like, just looking at this top
all the dance
list,
stuff,
like, Rhythm
that
a Dancer
he's done
has to be on there.
Yeah, that's probably on there.
There's a part of me that is very uncomfortable that all your suggestions are, like, hip hop and R&B songs.
Well, Rhythm is
okay, this is something we mentioned the first. This is the first time, like, we mentioned this the first time we recorded. The characterization of Zach is something you have to figure out through the filter of racism.
Yeah,
like, because that's how this show writes him.
Right.
Luke would it's
what middle-aged white executives in the 90s thought a black teenager
was. Luke, would it make you more comfortable if I was really, really sure that I Will Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf is probably on that CD? Will that help?
A little bit.
Also, would it make you feel more comfortable to know that Ain't Nothing But a G Thing is a really good song?
It is.
Well, sure, I'm not saying it's not.
So, at this point, Trini...
You know what? Just to mix it up, I'm going to go ahead and say Runaway Train by Soul Asylum is on there, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So at this point, Trini comes up, and she just has a straight-up newspaper, which is practical, but boring, as is Trini.
This is the most Trini thing she has ever done.
It is, but you were talking about Zach having the most appropriate thing. Trini is, too.
It's super practical.
It's boring,
like, yeah.
But...
Yeah.
Just tell me sense. When Trini puts it in there, does she go, and the paper is biodegradable?
She doesn't, but she may as well have. Wait, no, that would be really bad. That would defeat the purpose.
Yeah, but this is Power Rangers, and Trini is only allowed to have like two or three character traits, and I think Environmentalist is one of them.
Yeah, that's
point.
True, it is.
Yeah.
Zach, do the comics hit on Trini being like politically active environmentalist kind of person, or no?
Trini hasn't gotten a ton of spotlight, but she is... Actually, you know what they push more than anything in the comics is the fact that Trini is everybody's best friend. She's everybody's like second best friend, basically. Right. But they actually push it. Like she's that person in the group where like everybody went to with their problems in high school. Like that's Trini in the comics, which I think that fits. Like that seems right. So, you know, that works. So at this point, Balk and Skull come in with their contribution, which is a giant sandwich because they're idiots. Right. I mean, like, this...
Well, now, it is not a giant sandwich. They come in with the ingredients to make
a You're right, they're going to make a giant sandwich.
And perform the building of it there in class.
Yeah, and they, like, it's sped up editing of them putting all this stuff on the sandwich.
Let's not forget that it's called the Bulk Witch.
The Bulk Witch, yeah. And then, at the end...
Miss Appleby is clearly not okay with this, but also she doesn't do anything to stop it.
No, absolutely not.
And this is like a, this is like a 4-foot hoagie. Yeah. And just in sped up footage, they start throwing like just meat. And they do like almost kind of a weird assembly line thing where Bulk like throws down a slice of meat and immediately Skull's squirting sauce on it.
Right.
Phrasing. But like, you know, they're throwing lettuce on there, all kinds of stuff. And then...
And then
Skull gets way too enthusiastic with the mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And slowly and sensually sprays his mayo on Bulk's face.
Listen.
Why does this keep happening?
The fact that this is the second fucking time. Okay.
It's the second or the third?
Well, it's the second time explicitly that Bulk has, or Skull has put mayo on Bulk's face. Like,
there was one with suntan lotion too, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was the suntan lotion all over his face, and then he used the mayo on his body.
Right. Yeah.
Tim P's real
That's
brand
a quote
mayonnaise.
To take out of context.
Yeah. The fact that this keeps happening, and yet we know from like the back behind the scenes stuff that this was not done like on purpose. It's just why the mayonnaise? Why not the ketchup? Why not the mustard? Like,
you know why.
Why right. explicitly the mayonnaise? It's
you just, know why.
But I don't think I do. I don't think anyone on that creative team would be willing to make that joke.
I don't think anyone on that creative team was like, yeah, like semen. Like, no, I don't think that happened.
I want to sit in on that fucking meeting. So why do
you
we
You know, I
kind of
think
mayonnaise?
Maybe the writers were, and they just that they thought they were pulling one over on Haim Saban.
Maybe.
Like, we're going to put all these fucking semen jokes in this kid's show,
you
and
think
this fucker's not going to notice.
You think that the writers were going, were, like, coding them as gay, while, even though they knew that the, like, production people wouldn't let it go through, or...
I don't think so. I think we are...
No, I think that's reading into it a little bit.
Our richest headcanon yet.
Yeah. But... So, whatever, it happens. That like, come up with your own explanations for why they keep fucking
also,
doing this.
When Zach says it happens, it happens.
Yeah. You know yeah. So, Then we cut back up to the moon. They're making the monster. It's a jellyfish monster.
And Finster says that he's got this clay model that he's putting in the monster matic. He's like, this is going to give my jellyfish monster a strong backbone.
He did it wrong. He did a bad job.
That's not how jellyfish, no.
He says that without it, it would be a pile of sushi. Kids, do not eat jellyfish. Don't do it.
I feel like that's the joke they're making. Like, yeah, he's making
fair enough, yeah.
He's making it a man shape instead of just a jellyfish, because otherwise... What the fuck are you going to do with a jellyfish on land?
Fair enough.
Sting the shit out of people.
Yeah. We cut back down to the school, and Trini and Kimberly are, like, giggling and talking about how awesome it is that the Power Rangers picture went in the time capsule, which is cool. I mean, that's neat. I guess I would be excited about that. Then the three guys walk down the hallway... And they got fucking Tom Sawyer'd into burying this time capsule because Billy's like, we got the highest grades too, so we get the privilege of burying the time capsule. Yeah! And it's like, oh, dude, that thing's fucking huge. Your whole day is gone. At least.
Like, Jason and Zach are carrying this thing like it's a fucking coffin. And Billy's got five shovels on his shoulder.
Well, the thing is, basically, like, when I said, oh, they could stuff one of the students in there to fucking kill him, you could stuff one of the students in there to fucking kill him. It's huge.
So, yeah, this is just, it's
shit,
silly.
It wouldn't even be a tight fit, God.
It's funny to me, not that they volunteer and everything, like, that's cool, and it's a good example, but the faces they always put on it, just like, yeah, manual labor. It's just like,
be like, well, this is going to be hard work and it won't be much fun, but it'll be worth it to put ourselves.
Right.
Anyway.
It's just that, you know, like, you know, I know we use this example a lot, but Sailor Moon, it would be like, you know, Amy would get them to do it or whatever.
Oh, Sailor Moon just wouldn't fucking do it.
Well, Sailor Moon wouldn't.
I've got comic books to read.
The rest of them would, but they would be like, it was hard work, but it was worth it. But in this show, they're just like, yeah, shovels!
Right.
So, you know, they cut back to the moon again. And then at this point, Goldar is like, go make Squad and Babu steal the time capsule and put your picture in it. What does that have to do with the monster? Like, I don't understand how this connects to the rest of your plan.
Well, so I feel like when they make a plan, they just take it as a given that they're gonna need a monster. I don't really worry about how it factors in.
You think they're just so used to it that they, like, come up with a plan, but the monster is just, like, on the side of the piece of paper in a box?
Right,
and it just,
exactly.
They're just like...
It's like they're filling out the paperwork for this, and it's like, plan, description, and they fill in that box. What monster will you be using? Well, I don't really need a monster. Yeah, but you can't leave the form blank, or else then it gets rejected by the computer.
Yeah, I guess so. So they send, you know... So we cut to the park, and this is one of the craziest fucking things in this episode. There's
actually,
a big...
You know, not to hold us up here, but you know what it is? It's back to Goldar's union. Like, that's in his contract. There has to be a monster each time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now I'm imagining a scenario where Rita's plan... The monster gets its shit kicked, but Rita's plan goes off perfectly, and at the episode, everyone's like, yes! What did we need
well,
the monster
did happen
for
with
again?
The garbage dump!
Yeah, that happened, like, three episodes in.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's true. That happened. Yeah.
I guess you never forget the garbage dump.
Clean it up off screen.
Yeah. But one of the craziest things in this episode happens, which is that they get to the park, and there's a big sign with an arrow that says, time capsule goes here. I need someone to explain who put this there. For what?
Okay.
Like,
I have to assume the school did this.
Okay, here's my guess. This part of the park butts up to the school. It's kind of halfway school property. And they dug a time capsule up from here before. And did a whole unit on that. And now they're burying a new time capsule in the same place.
Or they're about to hit another time capsule. That's the other explanation, is that they're about to dig into a time capsule.
They're just gonna fucking toss it aside, too.
Alternatively, did you know this show was made for actual 5-year-olds?
Yeah.
You didn't.
You're right.
Do.
Mike, now I'm imagining they dig the other one up, just hook it in the lake, and then bury theirs.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Like, this is right next to the lake. That is a bad place to bury something you want to keep, like, you know, in good condition for a long time.
Yeah. Also, when they get there, Kimberly says, "That looks like a good spot." I fucking hope so. It's got a sign. It's his time capsule.
And now I'm just imagining they dig up the capsule from the rival school and they're like, "What's this fucking shit?" And just douse it in gasoline and set it on fire on the pavement.
Oh, I didn't consider it could be like the school's rival.
Oh, man.
That would
I didn't
be
consider
scary.
That there was another school.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. a good point also. So they're getting ready to start digging and putties show up. At which point, everyone who is holding a shovel drops the shovel to fight the putties.
Oh, man. But could you just imagine, like, another deleted scene where Jason kills a putty with a shovel? He eats the fucking piss.
And in fairness, we know how these scenes were put together. Like, there wasn't a lot of... It's all practical stunt work. So, like, okay, yeah, you probably don't want Jason... actually
hit a stuntman in the face with a shovel.
Yeah. I could see.
I think you used it like a bow staff and just like shoved it at them like long ways.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. But definitely you don't want Jason's actor swinging a fucking, yeah. like the metal end of a shovel at you. I get it. So.
Didn't the stuntman have to like explain to Jason David Frank that he didn't actually need to hit them at one point?
I think Luke.
Yes.
I think Luke. Yeah, pointed that out. Which
yeah,
is
allegedly. yeah, at some point they had to pull Jason David Frank aside and like, listen, I know that you like know karate. This isn't real karate. Like, you don't have to hit me.
The putties aren't actually trying to kill you. It's okay.
Right.
In that sense, I guess Jason David Frank was the perfect man for the job then.
Yeah.
That comes across as exactly something Jason would do in the show.
No, we're talking about Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy.
Yeah. Oh, fucking
Jason David Frank.
Yeah,
Tommy.
No, Tommy's actor is named Jason.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm yep. too fucking tired to keep up with this shit.
It's okay.
Somebody give me a line or something.
No, you got this, God. Matt. We're booking through it. So, at this point, there's a fight. It's fine. I can't...
While the Rangers are fighting the putties, Squad and Babu teleport in, and yeah. I think this is the first time we see the American version of the Babu costume, and it's terrible.
The Babu costume's really bad, which is weird.
You know
cause...
what? I've noticed, oh my god, during this fight, Billy even reaches out and picks up a shovel and then does nothing with it.
Yeah, he like, he looks like he's about to Jackie Chan with it, and then he just doesn't. Like...
He doesn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Then he's like, wait, shit, no, I shouldn't hit the stuntman in the face with a shovel. It's probably not going to go down well.
So, Babu and Squat, which, yeah, again, Babu's American suit is real bad. Squat's looks fine.
Squat's is okay.
Well, I mean, we've seen his before, so.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think Babu's is terrible.
It's mostly the, like, the arm wings and the face. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, I think it's okay.
It could be worse. Let's put it that way.
It's his bright red smooching lips against his dark blue everything else that
it's
really...
It's not that
just,
awful
like,
Goldar puppet.
That's true.
Yeah.
So at this point, they open the capsule.
I forgot.
Did you forget about this line?
Yeah. No, they open the capsule and Squat... picks up Kimberly's, like, dress that she was going to put in there, and he's like, oh, that's a nice dress. Very grunge.
No, it's not. Wait, you don't know what that word means. Yeah.
I don't think pink is in the grunge palette.
No, this is literally one of the writers was like, I heard this word on MTV yesterday, and just put it in the script.
I prefer the more charitable reading that Squat's really fascinated by, like, Earth culture and fashion, but doesn't really know how to put all of it together, so that's what...
You're saying it's their mistake and not the writer's.
Yeah, that'd be... Yeah, I mean, that's charitable.
I'll be charitable here.
So at this point, they finish off...
In any case, Squat and Babu, instead of teleporting away with the time capsule...
Remember...
just kind of start walking away.
They can magically teleport. They
also remember, at no point did they need to actually steal the time capsule. They could have just stuck the picture in.
There is actually a line that says, where Squat is like, ah, shit, I forgot the fucking piece of paper. So
Word for word, that is an exact quote, by the way.
Yeah, they get real sweary. Yeah,
but they just start slowly walking away. Yeah. Are they gonna walk to the moon?
Yeah, so they're like, oh, we forgot it, so I guess we'll just take it with us later, and then they just start walking away. And my favorite thing about this, every bit of it is dumb, but my favorite part is the Rangers just like, they finish off the putties and they walk up to them and they're like, what are you doing? Like, where are you going? And they don't even really attack them. They just kind of pose at them, and Squad and Bobby were like, yeah, you're right. We fucked up. Bye.
And then they don't take it with them and they teleport away.
They teleport away. They're holding it. Why don't they teleport with it? I don't understand.
And then the Rangers look around confused and they're like, oh, thank goodness we saved it. But then Jason says, the question is, what would Rita want with it? And I just had, like, just a flash, a vision in my head of how this episode could be so much better.
Okay.
If it was that she wanted to stick a monster egg in that time capsule that's going to hatch in, like, 50 years.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would have been a good plan.
Then, like, a Jason from the future with, like, an eye patch shows up and is like, we have to stop this. And then you have, like, the Tyrannosaur Zord fighting alongside the Megazord to fight the monster at the end.
That'd be pretty rad. Would he have a beard also?
Of course.
Okay, good.
But he'd have a really shitty fake beard. Like, it would still be
Be a $2 beard that they bought at the store. Yeah.
But it would still be Austin St. John, not a different actor.
Yeah,
to be
of course.
Jason.
Yeah.
So, at this point, we cut up to the moon, and, you know, Rita's like, you were supposed to bring the photo, you idiots. And then at this point, just abandons her entire plan, like,
right,
completely.
Who cares anymore?
Yeah, and they just send the goldfish monster down. I'm sorry, that's jellyfish. The wrong thing. Jellyfish.
Well, it's...
Normally I'd make
your
fun
confusion
of you here,
is understandable.
But, yeah.
Your confusion is understandable because this looks nothing like a jellyfish.
Yeah, if you...
Well, the monster gave it a backbone.
Yes. Yeah. If you were like, what is this a monster of, and I didn't have the title, I don't know how... What I would say, really...
I'd go with
Squid. I believe the description I used last time was that this looks like what a 60-year-old Republican senator thinks a vagina looks like.
Yep, it's still good. It's still good. Yeah, it's this weird white thing with blue spots all over it. It has like a blue sea anemone hair kind of thing.
Yeah, and like big red horns. And then on one of its hands, two of its fingers are like whips.
Yeah, they're like supposed to be tentacles or tendrils.
And I think I had a toy of this guy.
Which is weird.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I think I did.
I think they did make a bunch of toys of the like monsters of the week, which is, I mean, your Power Rangers have to fight something, I guess.
Right,
but,
I mean, I definitely had... I'm trying to think. I know I had Pudgy Pig. I know I had Eye Guy. I don't remember.
You know what I just realized is weird? I don't think they made giant versions of any of the monsters, so who does...
They made giant versions of a few of them.
Did they? I was going to ask who the fuck your Megazord was supposed to fight, but I
had two giant-sized monsters. One was like a fish monster that we have not seen yet, and one was like a fly monster that we haven't seen yet.
Okay, all right.
And then I had the monsters from the movie, like the like big metal... bug thing.
Okay, cool. All right, fair enough. So, let's take a quick break, to make sure that our audio integrity is good, and then we'll be right back. Okay, so, sorry, behind the scenes, we clap to do our sync, and my cat walked right up to me right when it happened, and he freaked the fuck out. So, anyway, sorry. Moving on. So, we have our fight. They morph, to fight the jellyfish. And, man, like, so, he shoots them with, his, like, stingers. They call it a ooze or like a venomous something. They say it's poison, basically.
Yeah.
And Luke.
They say it's a sting, cause, like, you know, jellyfish.
Right. Yeah, right. Luke, remember your, thing about, how the suits are their skin?
Yeah.
So, they say that it's, like, penetrating through their special suits. Which, I don't think that exactly goes against that, but sure. It's just something to note.
It's something to note. I will admit that is a point against my theory, but, how's Cummy itched on his suit?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I don't understand it either. someone asked, I'm sorry, I don't have the name up, but somebody asked what your response to what is Kimberly's skirt?
Oh. Well, is. I mean, it's like a pouch.
Does she have a tiny Kimberly in there, like a kangaroo?
No, I'm just saying, different animals have, like, weird flaps of skin, I mean, and pouch sounded less gross than foreskin, so.
Oh, okay, gotcha, sure. Well, okay, fair.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, well, let's move on.
That actually reminded me, you mentioned you couldn't find a name. So, on the episode I hosted a couple episodes back, I couldn't find the name of the listener who made that, like, compiled that list of all the endings. And sort of objectively prove through math that most episodes end with the Rangers laughing at somebody.
Yes.
So apologies to Ben Murphy. He was the one who compiled that list.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. Well done. So they fight and they retreat. It's too powerful. Blah blah blah. They go back to the command center, and Zordon is well. First of all, I love when. The American actors do suit acting because they always really over emote hard.
Yeah.
And Jason is like, what's with this jellyfish, Zordon? And he's like, he's got both his hands up in the air doing like what are we going to do about it? Like that kind of,
you got a weird, like stereotypical Italian mobster in your voice there when you were doing your Jason impression.
Hey, Zordon, what are we going to do about it?
We gotta
make some calamari out of this thing, capiche?
You disrespect my family? Are you disrespecting my family?
Oh, God. I'm really glad we're doing a different racism than we usually do on this show. Okay.
What the hell is our normal garden variety racism? What the
fuck? Yeah, I'm actually curious about that, too.
I mean, we don't do it. It's us acknowledging the Asian and African-American racism that is pretty deep in this show.
Italians are white people.
Yes.
I got really confused. It's like, have we been, like, shitting on the Poles in the episodes that I haven't been in? Like, what the hell is going on here?
Yes, no. We've been making a lot of Polish jokes.
Yeah, that's right. We've been making...
Racisms that, like, no one has anymore. And it's like, wait, what do you mean? What?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, are we talking about Polish? Because, like, I got some news from the UK.
I watched a lot of, like, old comedy as a kid, like a lot of stuff that was from before my time, and I never understood what the hell a Polish joke was actually supposed to be.
A Polak? Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, what I is mean, a Polak?
Like, yeah. I've watched a lot of All in the Family, and there's a lot of times where it's like, okay, he's clearly being racist against this group. I don't know what he's trying to imply because we don't have those stereotypes.
It's such a weird, like, so he's racist, but I don't know how exactly.
Right. I'm still not 100% clear on what the stereotype is supposed to be. I think the stereotype is that Polish people are supposed to be stupid, but I'm not sure.
It's stupid and lazy. It's basically Polish people are the UK's equivalent of stereotypical Mexicans, basically.
That's the whole, like, screen door on a submarine thing. Like, that's
and again, we do not subscribe to any of these things. We are just talking
about terrible and shitty.
Yeah.
Because somebody said something about racism.
We just started doing Italian
spada
bing bada boom.
Right.
Yeah.
We're bad
so
people.
Let's move on. So yeah, Jason is that was a weird tangent.
We are bad people. In case the previous, I don't know, 46 episodes plus bonus content hadn't made that clear, we are terrible human beings.
He says, whatever they were shooting at almost went through our burned through our suits. And he says, the jellyfish is equipped with a toxic spray that can eat through your special suits, which is a weird, like, I know that's what they are, but it's weird that he says that. how do we fight them? Okay, so Alpha's got a magic chemical that'll shield your suits. Now
the
hold
spray
still.
Effect, though, holy shit!
And hold still and have some weird, like, vector graphics sprayed at you.
The first time
it's
I
like
saw
fucking
this
Battle effect. Zone.
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it? Holy fuck.
Or, were you going to say, Matt?
I don't know, because Mike said Battle Zone, and I was like, God damn, wow.
It is weird, given how many of their special effects are silly string, like a lot of them.
They are, but that's always like monster attacks and stuff. They could not just stand there while Alpha sprayed them with silly string.
Could they not?
And they just stood there covered in silly string. Thanks, Zordon.
They get one spray somebody with stuff per episode, and they've already used it, so...
If I was directing it, it would have been just a really extended shot of Alpha spraying Jason with silly string. Not in, like, the way that this show does, which is all weird innuendo. Just spraying him with silly string, and then Jason just gives a big old thumbs up in his suit, and then they teleport to fight.
But then the problem is, I don't know, man. Doesn't have the silly string on them.
No, that's true.
I will say this, the one spray per episode limit does not apply to Bulk and Skull.
No, absolutely not. So, they teleport, putty fight, and then, oh wait, I'm sorry, it's important to note that the jellyfish man is just dancing and singing a happy song. For what purpose, I have no real idea. but that is happening.
What is this monster doing?
I mean, the purpose is that he loves life.
Yeah, he's just having a fucking... I mean, you know, we've talked about it before. These monsters are, like, hours old when they get murdered.
Right.
So any moment that they're not fighting the Rangers, they're just like, it's such a fucking nice day out, you guys. Like,
this monster literally has an umbrella.
He has
like
a song in his heart.
Sun umbrella.
Yeah.
His arm turns into an umbrella, and he calls it his tentacle.
Yeah, so at this point, they fight the putties, and they fight the monster, and the monster is like, have my toxic spray, and they get hit with it, but it doesn't, I mean, no, I guess they roll out of the way, which is weird, because they're also immune to it already.
The whole point of the last scene was that it doesn't hurt them anymore.
But then they stab and shoot at him, and he pulls out an umbrella.
Right.
It's not acknowledged.
When he sprays the acid, he does melt a park bench.
Yes, yeah. That is also true. But he pulls out an umbrella, and nobody ever says anything about it the whole episode. He's just got an umbrella now.
He's just got an umbrella.
One thing I don't want to completely skip over during this fight scene is that a lot of the shots have Zach, like, taking the charge, like going to the front of the team and doing the trash talking. And I think when Toei made this footage, they intended for it to be a Black Ranger focused episode, but that just didn't happen.
I mean, that's possible.
Yeah.
He already had a Black Ranger focused one in the one where he, like, used the axe on the goat lion, because on that one, like,
well, yeah, his hands were
bloody and bandaged up, and they never explain why.
Yeah.
They did a lot of that stuff because every time the Rangers line up in front of the monster, Zach's in the front, he's doing the talking, he's gonna also kind of take charge during the Megazord fight. Like, yeah, I think Toei thought, okay, we have to make X amount of episodes about the Black Ranger, X amount of episodes about the Yellow Ranger, so on and so forth, and Saban was just like, fuck it. Huh?
This is Zhu 2 stuff, right?
Yes, it is.
Something
else I was going to bring up. I mentioned that the jellyfish has, like, two fingers that are really long, like, whips. He at no point, like, whips them with those fingers.
No. He whips them around a lot, but he never uses them as weapons.
No.
I think he actually uses them as weapons once.
Yeah, he might do it once, quick shot. But it's definitely not, like... thing that he's doing. Also, he can teleport, which I don't think jellyfish can do.
No,
mostly.
I will grant them that stuff because it kind of taps into the fact that jellyfish are kind of creepy and weird and otherworldly.
That's true. That's fair.
Okay. I found the thing that that the tentacles do. It's what his spray shoots out of.
Oh.
He's actually using it as a spray, as they have smoke come out of his like floppy fingers.
And he did just, I'm seeing now later in the fight, he does whip them, so.
So at some point, he uses this umbrella and spins it around, and we get a good old-fashioned teleported to another dimension bit,
which we
have not had in quite some time.
Well, and it's not just any old teleportation to another dimension. they end up in the good old mushroom tree dimension from, like, the second episode.
The like, skeleton man teleported them to? I literally think that is, like, the second episode.
It's a black room with fog all over the floor, and there's, like, a tree. Like,
well, there's only a tree in the shot of them being thrown in. Once they're in, that is gone, and now the background is pitch black, and they're just in a room with fog.
I think they just reused that shot from that episode and then filmed this. And at this point, the jellyfish monster, makes up some rules. Like, as if you were playing cops and robbers with a little kid and he says he has a force field. That's what happens now because
in this dimension, he can hurt the Rangers, but they can't hurt him. They just go through him. And then, he beats on them for a while, and I actually kind of like the special effect here, the way they make, one actor, like, because they had to film, like, the Ranger suit actors separate from the monster actor and still have them fight to have
this,
like,
kind of a neat idea. I will say that the monster, especially his choreography, is very stilted, like, because it had to be for this idea to work at all.
Yes.
It just kind of, he casually strolls across the screen while they punch at him.
Yeah,
it's weird looking, but it's kind of cool looking also. So,
but the solution is super dumb. Yes, Billy's like, oh shit, we're time phased. Oh, you know what? I bet fixes time phasing. Zach's gun.
Man, the amount of times in this show, it's actually getting to be kind of high. In the first like 30 or 40 episodes, they didn't do that this much, but in this Jutu stuff, especially the Star Trek. Like, technobabble horseshit that they pull out to explain why this works when nothing else did.
Well, the thing is, they don't even explain why this works. It's just like, okay, we're time phased, whatever the fuck that means. Zach, shoot it with your axe.
Yes.
Okay.
To be fair, Billy doesn't even say that'll work. He basically says, hey, let's try this. And it just happens to work.
Also, he says, make a wish, jellyfish, when he shoots him, which is really a rhyme.
Back in, like, the Madame Woe episode, didn't they figure out that one of them could get out of these kind of pocket dimensions if they just focus all their power on them?
Yeah. They just forgot that, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So, they attack, and then, or they get out, by shooting him with Zack's axe. Rita grows the monster.
What else can you do at that point but grow the monster? Yeah.
We get the full Megazord sequence because this episode just doesn't have that much going on. It's fine. There is a point where they attack with their Zords individually, and I apologize. We had our buddy Dustin on last time we did this and he could not make it back. But he pointed out that the Mastodon uses the cold attack, which is extremely effective, and then they just don't do that again.
Nope.
Which is fine. Like, they just don't bother.
Zach says, it's time for some frozen fish.
Yeah. Also, I was going to say, the only explanation I come up with for the umbrella is that an umbrella is vaguely shaped like a jellyfish.
I guess, but it's still really weird.
Because also, we haven't established, its umbrella is, like, pink and covered in veins.
Yes, it's gross looking.
Yeah,
it is
a flesh umbrella.
Yeah. Okay, I actually know exactly what this umbrella looks like. It looks like the inside of somebody's eyeball.
Yeah it does. Yeah. If you
that's
ever
what it looks like.
If you've ever gone to the doctor,
I'll tell you what it really looks like. It looks like the underside of Kimberly's uniform skirt.
Oh, because it's flesh. Gross. Right. Gross.
Yeah, if you take the skirt off and turn it inside out, that's what it looks like.
Gross.
People don't realize that this thing's actually made of human skin, and it used to be the cover of the Tome of Eternal Darkness.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But if you've ever gone to the eye doctor and they do, like, they take the picture of the back of your retina, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what it looks like. They fight for a while. Like, I don't know. Is there anything we need to mention about this Megazord fight?
It's
okay.
Weirdly, just that he kind of punches this thing in the face a lot.
Yeah, he does punch it a lot, like a bunch, right in the face, which is
like
pretty good.
This monster suit must have been especially padded so they could just really wallop on this guy.
Yeah. They also miss a lot because it keeps teleporting all around. I guess. But finally, they call the sword, and then they just straight up use... they do stab at it, like, once, and then they use the finishing move.
I will say, when they have the sword, I just noticed the, like, the offhand, the hand that does not have the sword, like, the box around the glove has slipped down, so just its fingers are sticking out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks incredibly silly.
Have we ever talked about how, like, the Megazord has plastic fists until it calls...
Yeah, but it's got battle mode and puppy petting mode.
Yeah, until it calls the sword, and then it just has, like, people hands.
Yeah, it has, like, Hulk, like, the Hulk hand toy.
Yeah.
But then it, when it has the sword or it needs to manipulate anything with, like, articulation, it's just, like, hands covered in black, like, gloves.
Kind of reminds me of, like, how the Swedish Chef Muppet has human yes. hands.
And it's sort of unsettling in the exact same way that the Swedish Chef is.
Yeah.
Now I want to see the Megazord have a cooking show.
Bork, bork, bork.
Yeah, exactly.
Alternatively, have a Power Rangers team that are the Muppets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, hold on. We have to assemble a Power Rangers team out of Muppets. What five main Muppets do we use, and who's the Green Ranger?
Kermit, they've frozen us solid!
That was pretty good!
That's Kermit's voice!
No, that was Fozzie.
No, you dope!
Who is that supposed to be?
I don't know.
I thought it was a pretty good Fozzie.
No, it was supposed to be Fozzie.
Oh, okay, well, anyway.
Miss Piggy has to be.
But then the No You Dope sounded really shitty, and I didn't want to own that.
Okay, so okay. It would be Kermit, Fozzie,
yeah.
Gonzo,
Miss Piggy has
Miss
to be in
Miss Piggy
there.
And, yeah. I don't know, Rizzo, maybe?
I'm blanking on any other girl Muppet.
The newer Muppets Janice show made Janice a main character because
is she
they had
the one that's like the member of the band.
Yes,
yeah, okay, yeah.
And they made her a big character because they straight up didn't have any other girl Muppets.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I think Rizzo would maybe be the fifth. I don't know who the Green Ranger would.
Yeah, Kermit would be red. Fozzie's blue.
Would be green.
No, he can't be green because he's got to be the leader. And he'll be mad about it the whole time, but, like, too bad.
Okay, fair enough.
Hold on. Gonzo's got to be the Green Ranger, though.
No, Gonzo's the Black Ranger because
he's
got to
be the
friend.
Wild card.
No, he's Kermit's best friend, though.
He's not the blue
and he's the
one?
Party guy.
I guess I'm being racist against Muppets by assuming that they would match their colors.
Their skin color. No, Fozzie's definitely the Blue Ranger.
Sure, I could see
Miss
that.
Miss Piggy's got to be the Pink Ranger.
Wait, wouldn't Scooter be the Blue Ranger?
Nah, I don't think Scooter gets Ranger. Scooter's like Alpha.
Yes, yeah, Scooter is totally Alpha.
No, I'm wrong. Excuse me. Dr. Bunsen Honeydew is Zordon and Beaker is Alpha.
Yes. You're right.
Goddamn.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty good.
Alright, so Kermit red, Scooter blue, Gonzo black, Miss Piggy pink. I guess Fozzie is yellow.
Oh, did we? Yes, so Scooter instead of Rizzo? That was my...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking Rizzo was green.
Okay. Yeah, because he came along kind of later. Like, right. Yeah, that works. I'm okay with that.
Wait, wouldn't it be one of the... Like, wouldn't the Green Ranger be like one of the sort of later edition Muppets? Like, I don't know, Beating the Rabbit?
Rizzo was, wasn't he? I mean, he was around, but he wasn't prominent until the... Man, we're really doing just deep digging into the Muppets.
I guess Rizzo wasn't really around until, like, the Disney era?
Yeah, until the Muppet Christmas Carol and stuff.
Yeah,
basically.
I was going to say, I mostly remember him from the Muppet Christmas Carol.
So, yeah. I'm going to say Rizzo's green, and we have to move on.
we just delved
hold on,
deep
hold on.
Into
would,
the
would,
lore of
Rita Repulsa
Muppet.
Be
God
Nanny,
damn.
And we only ever see her from the legs down?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. No, okay, who's Goldar? Sweetums. It's Sweetums.
Sweetums okay, has to be Goldar.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then he's
perfect.
Skull.
I hate that we're still doing this. I hate it so much.
We have
we're
to.
We're too deep. We've got to finish it, man. We're too deep.
My gut wants to say, like, Animal is Skull.
Bobo, the security bear, is Bulk. The big,
there you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Okay. We've freed ourselves. We've dug up. Or we dug down.
Dr. Teeth.
Okay.
Man, some of these match up really well.
Yeah, actually, I'm surprised at how not shitty this system has been. You could actually pitch this.
It kept going, and I kept, whatever, it's fine. So yeah, at this point, whatever, they fucking kill a monster, like nothing else. Right? It's dead. If no one is listening to this show for our description of the Megazord fights, that's not what's happening.
Zach.
So at this point, they cut to the moon.
Zach.
Rita says, "Bah, I don't have it." And then they cut to the cheese bar. And Ernie is serving them all drinks and also popcorn in like goblets.
Zach, just acknowledge whatever Luke wants you to do.
This got really out of control really quickly. I don't know where we went off the rails, but we went way off the rails. God damn.
Okay.
I think Zach's muted us all.
No,
I think he's just
I'm sorry. I actually my leg hit the volume on my
seriously?
My headset. So I was just talking, and I was like, I guess everybody left, whatever.
Is your recording still good?
Yeah. Okay. We're keeping this.
So, Luke, what were you saying?
This is staying in. I was saying that Ernie got them sodas.
I kept trying to get your attention, because I was going to say, you cannot be that disinterested in the monster fights when we're only at episode 47.
No, I mean, listen, the problem is not... The problem, I think, for me is that I'm just done with this Megazord. Like, yeah. I'm just done with it. Like, it really? Was supposed to be, you know, it was supposed to be 40 episodes. We're in 47. And I think it'll help when at least Titanus and the Dragonzord are back. Cause that's like at least some like different modes, but I'm just over this dude. Like, it's a cool robot, but I've seen it for 47 episodes.
I like it so much better than the next one.
Oh, I love the Thunder Megazords. They're actually...
I don't like it at all.
They're up there in my, like, favorites.
I mean, that didn't stop me from buying the Legacy Thunder Megazord.
Man, yeah, I saw that you bought that. That's pretty great. So, anyway...
Anyway.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ignore you.
So we go to the gym and juice bar, and Ernie... is serving everyone a cup of punch and popcorn in margarita glasses?
Yeah. It's really strange. I don't know what's going on there.
Or not even margarita glasses. It's like the kind of dish you would serve shrimp cocktail in.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And...
I guess Ernie realized that the giant popcorn bowls were putting him out of business.
Was unnecessary, yeah.
Oh, that's the down... You used to be able to get one of those... giant bowls for a dollar, and now this is what you get for a dollar?
Yeah, he's trying to be more fiscally responsible.
Yeah.
So they mention...
Like, I got bailed out, that's not gonna happen again, I gotta be smart this time.
So they do mention, like, okay, we buried the times capsule, what a workout. So at least they give it some sort of, like, mention, but at this point, Balk and Skull show up.
And they have finished the giant sandwich.
Which, like... Did it take them all day?
I think so, because here's the thing.
Do you see this thing?
This thing is basically just a big party sub, which are big and are kind of unwieldy, but they are treating this thing like it weighs as much as a car.
Yeah, when they lift it above their heads, they're, like, struggling to lift it. And may I remind you that Balk has the second most reps in the weightlifting challenge. So,
well, to be fair, that's bench presses, not deadlifts.
That's true, but he should theoretically be strong enough to lift a sandwich.
But also,
in my head, this thing has got to have, like, the density of a neutron star.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Balk is the sandwich-making equivalent of an astrophysicist. All right? He has packed an unbelievable amount of meat and cheese and sauce into a
tiny space.
So
you're saying if you cut like one slice of this, it would be as if you had eaten an entire sandwich?
No, I'm saying if you tried to cut one slice of this, you would ruin the knife.
I see. Okay. So they lift this sandwich above their heads for whatever reason, because they're like...
Well, they're very proud of the sandwich.
Yeah.
They're like, alright, well, so here we go to the time capsule.
Yeah, there's a comic bit where they're trying to steer their way into through the Gym and Juice Bar door around all these people coming in and out. But then they lift it triumphantly over their heads and are like, hey, we got our sandwich ready for the time capsule. The future's going to love this feast. which, like, actually sounds really altruistic, all things considered.
Well, again, they also think the future is going to be hell on Earth because they're trying to feed the poor, starving people of the future.
Yeah.
No one on this show has an optimistic opinion of what the future
That's
will be.
That's true, yeah.
It makes what's about to happen even sillier.
Yeah. So...
Oh, right, yeah, I forgot. This next bit's made me really angry. Oh, we're gonna get to it.
So, anyway, yeah, they are so disappointed by the fact that they're not gonna get to bury this sandwich, which is a great sentence that I just got to say.
Really?
That they falter in holding it up, and the whole, like, plate tips, and they dump the sandwich all over themselves.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they, like, fight with the bread, because they're...
They, like, sword fight with the bread, yeah, yeah, and then Bulk, yeah, falls down, because he's Bulk.
And then the episode tone shifts hard, like...
Yeah.
Like, the transmission's gonna fall out of this thing. Like,
yeah, let's bear in mind, the thing that happens right before this sudden tone shift is the Rangers laughing at Bulk and Skull.
Yes.
As they right. always do.
Yeah.
And then
they talk about, they give a speech, basically, where, yeah, where Jason's like, I hope that the people who open this time capsule in the future live in a peaceful and friendly world with no hatred, no prejudice. And they're like, you know, each person is saying a thing. No crime and no wars.
Let's get the exact phrasing.
That was the exact phrasing.
The thing to point out about this that's...
Well, it's who says what.
Right.
So Jason says peaceful and friendly. Kimberly says no hatred, and she's the one laughing the hardest at Bulk and Skull.
Yes, that's right? true. I don't think she hates Bulk and Skull. I think she has...
Are you kidding? Her deepest, darkest fear... The thing that makes her understand that Rita Repulsa must be omnipotent is that she can create an illusion of them being nice. She understands
that
the island of illusion is not the Bulk and Skull.
I forgot
but
about that.
The idea that she could conjure that illusion is contradictory to her understanding of the universe that she is a mental breakdown.
Yeah, she pretty much 100% fucking hates Bulk and Skull with every fiber.
I forgot.
If she had to make a tiny prison for Bulk and Skull, she would mix some of the mortar with her own blood.
Here's the thing, though. She doesn't really. She kind of likes Skull. That's why every time she turns evil, her first move is to hit on him. And she hates that she feels that way.
Oh, do you think this is some, like, fucking Tuxedo Mask shit where she's like, yeah, I'm attracted to this guy, I don't know why, and it makes me so mad?
Yes, exactly. She's actually really into Skull's whole bad boy demeanor.
I see.
She hates that she likes it, so she pushes him away.
So,
y'all do one episode on Sailor Moon, and all of a sudden...
No, listen, if you go back and listen, I talk about Sailor Moon way more than I probably should on this podcast.
Okay.
That's true.
But
so, the other three, and I'm gonna do these out of order for a reason. So let's skip Billy for a second.
Trini says
no crime, and Zach says no wars. But in the middle of this,
yeah,
we have Billy,
oof,
played by David Yost,
the guy who was kicked off the show later because he was gay, reportedly.
Well, not kicked off the show, pressured off the show,
right,
because of the rampant culture of homophobia.
Right.
Yeah, bullied constantly off the show, saying no prejudice.
Yeah.
And... Oof.
Yeah, that's rough. That
is a punch to the gut.
That's real rough.
Yeah, that's some wincy bull.
Yeah, yeah. And then Kimberly says, "Do you think it'll ever happen?" And Jason's like, "If we all try to get along with each other, it will. We'll just have to hope for the best." And then they all say, "To the future," and put their hands in. And I want to remind you that there are two versions of the future in Power Rangers. One in which alien mutants have taken over and, like, killed half the people, so they have to have a special, like, time force to stop them. And two, where literally Terminator happens and, like, all but, I don't know, 10,000 people are dead. So... Yep.
Yeah.
Good going, Power Rangers. Yeah.
Man, knowledge of the future is fucking depressing.
No, you don't want it. You really don't.
Yeah, it's not like it's their fault.
No, absolutely not, but still.
They did more than anybody to make the future better.
Yeah, just didn't, you know, cars just didn't fall right. Sorry.
Right.
But, like, real talk, if you had the capability to possess true knowledge of the future, would you take
it? No. Super no.
I really? I'm surprised.
I
well, it depends. Is it? Is this one of those, like, fuck it, what was her name? Cassandra? Whoever it was in mythology, yeah, was like, who could see the future, but no one would ever believe her predictions?
Well, no, because in real life, when you're not cursed like she was, you can make very easily falsifiable claims.
That's true. I wouldn't, because it would... Even if a bunch of cool shit happens in the future, I know that I would also find out about all the horrible shit, and it would just weigh me down too much.
Well, to me, it'd be that you can't change any of it, so what, like...
Well, is it immutable, or can you act on it?
You don't actually know the future, then. You only know of a future.
What if you can see all possible futures?
What if that's even more anxiety-causing?
Because then, oh god, every decision I make instantly destroys an infinite number of alternate timelines.
But, like, here's the thing, though. Even if you can only see a future, that still gives you a ton of information to work with to try and make for a better future.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Okay, if it's a case where what you see is what could be, then okay, that's fine. I'm saying if what you see is what will be, then no, god no.
Yeah, that's
what
fair.
What if it's, and I'm gonna go ahead and reference another Nicolas Cage movie, what if it's, like, Next, where, like, you can see... like, a few moments into what the future would be if you didn't take action and could fucking...
I would take, like, 10-second future sight. I'd be down with that. But
yeah. Or maybe like, the Batman version of the Clock King, where, like, you could maybe rewind time, like, 20 seconds if you fuck up.
Oh, yeah, if we're talking time travel, okay, yeah, 100%.
I'm not talking time travel, though. I'm just talking omniscience and the ability to see the future.
Yeah, I would say it depends on how mutable my visions of the future are.
Fair enough. How would the Muppets use visions of the future?
And there
well,
it goes.
Well, no, you know what? Fozzie Bear would be a great comedian.
No,
he
Zach,
would be able
you
to
gotta
see,
stop this. No.
He'd be able to see into the future
Zach,
to see
no,
if people
don't
laugh at
Luke
his jokes or not.
This.
But he,
Dad,
no one ever laughs
Luke
at his jokes.
This,
right, right. Then he can say, okay, I'm not going to tell that one, then. Let me try this one.
But then
he could refine his act.
But he would be stuck in an...
He would discover that he knew no good jokes.
Yeah, he would be stuck in an infinite loop.
Oh, Zach, don't. No.
okay, let's... Don't do let's this. Finish.
Like, we don't need another infinite bad comedy loop. That's what we're here for.
It's not infinite, it's only 50 years long.
Anyway.
Oh, God.
So that's it. That's the episode. I think that this is a pretty good episode, but it's also, again, it's real, like, standard. There's just not that much.
It's better than we've made it sound because, you know, again, this is the second time for three of us having discussed this episode, and Matt didn't really get the chance to watch
it
properly.
Well, it's a very boilerplate episode. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not notable, really.
Yeah, it's fun, I would say. Like, the stuff with the jellyfish is actually kind of neat. The time capsule stuff is unintentionally hilarious. You know, it's all right.
I will say watch the opening scene with the time capsule and then just skip it.
The time capsule scene is good for just fun, like, silly character building. I like it. But yeah, it's...
And like, if you've been like us and really freaked out by the fact that Miss Appleby disappeared, like, just straight up disappeared.
If you just need to know that Miss Appleby's okay, then you should watch this episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. I think we're going to skip, listener questions today, but.
Well, do we have time? Mike, what's your time limit looking like?
I got maybe 15 minutes, half an hour.
I don't have time for listener questions.
I don't have any pulled up. I don't have
well,
any.
Get some real quick.
I don't have any.
Go!
Okay. So
get into the
oh,
Twitter.
Oh, while I'm looking them up, I will say this. Thank you to our unfortunately previous guest Dustin, who we kind
yeah,
of
hold on. Yeah. I'll cover this while you go look.
Okay.
So Dustin was on the original version of this episode, and it had been the first time in a while we'd had him on, and it really sucks that we couldn't get him back for the retry. So on his behalf, we're going to go ahead and plug BakaCast, and that is a BAKA cast, and that is his anime podcast that has been running for a long time now.
They just did their 300th episode.
I've
got a question right here from the Twitter.
Okay.
This is from Power of Butt. If Goldar had children, would they be live birthed, hatched from an egg, or would Finster have to make them?
Oh.
It would depend on who he's fucking.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna go with a combination of hatched and Finster made them, because Finster is the mom.
No, I mean, see, what I was going to say is, I think if Goldar was in a relationship with another Goldar, then, they could just have live natural birth. But I don't know if Scorpina and Goldar's species are compatible. So they might have to make... Wait, they have a baby later, don't they?
I think they have a baby.
Do they?
They have a baby in the Sentai, I think. Or unless that's a baby that, like, Rita captured.
I think
that's
just a baby that they kidnapped.
Yeah.
I thought they had a baby.
I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that in the Sentai.
I'm looking up Goldar's baby.
Okay, good. That's a good place
look,
to go.
That's all I'm saying,
a good Google search that will really take you to wonderful places.
Yep.
Oh, look. All I'm saying
okay, wait a second. I need to say this. I Googled Goldar's baby, and the very first result was Scorpina.
Well, yeah, that's accurate.
This is Bay.
Yeah. What were you saying, Matt?
God damn. I was going to say, look, I know far more about alien fucking than any sane, rational person really should, and all I'm going to say is it depends on who you're
I think that if it was a Golar and a Goldar, it would be like, like, what are they called? Monotremes?
Okay, sure.
Where
I mean, he's definitely mammalian.
Yeah, because he's kind of half and half, so I think it would be like a platypus where they have live births or they have eggs, even though they're mammals,
wait a second.
Basically.
Hold on. While searching for Goldar baby, I ended up on MuslimBabyNames.com.
Okay, we're moving on. So
no. Where I got the meaning of the name Goldar.
Wait.
Goldar is actually a Muslim name?
Goldar is a Persian language name.
I'm going to guess it's probably not pronounced that way, but go ahead.
It's a girl's name, actually, and it means flower-like.
That's not accurate.
I don't know what to do with this information.
Some alternate spelling.
Goldar is a girl! We've just kind of been assuming.
Oh, no, we're terrible.
There's no way.
Gender identity.
They have to have said, like, him when referring to Goldar at some point. This is a 90s show.
Yeah, but, like, what if Rita's just been misgendering her? Because she's cruel.
I don't want to have to watch, like, 500 million episodes of the Power Rangers to figure out Goldar's gender.
I mean, you're going to watch all of them anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, no.
no, sorry. We need to get on this, like, fucking... Twitter, like, hashtag girl Goldar, we're doing
okay.
This.
I think at the bare minimum, we need to stop assuming that Goldar is male and start using gender-neutral pronouns.
Alright, fair enough. Unless...
Wow, you blew it on
unless
the first
Goldar,
sentence.
Unless Goldar genders...
You blew it as fast
themselves.
As you blow it.
Oh, Jesus. Let's end this. We're ending this. Check out BakaCast if you get the chance. It's pretty good. You know, Dustin's been doing it for a long time and he's way more professional than we are. If you have a question for us, I'm sorry. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, we have time for
okay.
one more.
Yeah, sure.
It's only been like 2 minutes.
Let's do one more. I've totally forgot we were doing questions. Man, I'm doing a good job. Jeffrey, on the Facebook group asks, what was your favorite piece of Power Rangers merch you owned as a child or currently? I had an awesome Power Rangers lunchbox. Someone actually mentioned it on the episode that I was out for, but I had the Red Ranger gloves that made kung fu noises when you punched with them. And
That was Ashley, I think.
Yeah, those were great. Anybody else have one?
I had a lot of the Megazords, and I'm trying to think of what my favorite one was.
My favorite piece of merch was the fighting game,
if you
count that.
Yeah,
sure.
And if it's not the fighting game, then I had a Power Rangers plate that I fucking loved.
Okay, that's,
loved that
that's
plate.
Fair.
Yeah.
I think the video game counts.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the video game counts as well, but in the event that you don't count it for whatever reason, because you consider it media or what the fuck ever, I don't think anybody's actually going to have a problem with that, but I'm just covering all my bases. I love that Power Rangers plate. I loved it so much, and I'm sad.
You saying that reminded me I had a Power Rangers beach towel when I was a little kid that I refused to use any of our other beach towels. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Young Zach and Young Matt, not this.
I literally because I had completely forgotten about that, but there you go. I'm looking. I don't see anything else right now.
I'm just looking through the Teens with Two Twitter likes to see if you liked any questions. I've got one from Mike that says I made spaghetti.
Yes. You made spaghetti the other day, Mike. How was your spaghetti?
It was really good.
Hi.
That's not... okay.
So if you have any questions for us, you should send them to the Teenagers with Attitude group on Facebook, Teens with Tude on Twitter, or teenswithtude@gmail.com. You should check...
Or you can follow me on Twitter at Mike Loves Rabbit if you want to know the next time I make spaghetti.
Yeah, or if you want just like a bunch of pictures of bunnies. Like a whole lot.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter or Tumblr if you find it, but I don't tell them. Why did you find that so
funny? The way you said it was very amusing. Do you want to plug anything today, Luke?
You can listen to Let Me Tell You About Homestuck, which is a podcast me and Ashley have totally reprised you, where we read through the webcomic Homestuck together.
And do fun voices.
And we do fun voices.
There you go.
Yeah.
So.
And we record for like 6 hours straight, and my throat hurts real bad when we're done.
Yay. I do want to say one thing. This isn't really a plug. So after this, presumably after this goes up, we got two more bonus episodes coming up about Kamen Rider Ghost. And I think the next one we're planning to do is we're going to try and cover Juojer.
Yeah.
And then probably try and knock out a bonus episode about one of the Power Rangers knockoffs we haven't covered yet, probably Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. Yeah. I do have a request for the listeners. So we do always want suggestions for shows that you want us to do bonus episodes on. One particular one, entirely because of the makeup of the cast of this podcast, we primarily like watch and discuss and both covering like in our tangents in the main show and on the bonus episodes, we talk about shows that have like retro kid shows that have been aimed at boys. And what I'm wondering is there a retro like 80s or 90s kid show aimed at girls that you'd like us to talk about? Because I kind of want to just see what happens into some fucking weird thing. Like, I don't know, Rainbow Bright.
I was literally thinking Rainbow Bright when you said
that. I was thinking the holograms.
Yeah, something like that. Like,
so, I mean... So yeah, if you have anything you want us to cover in a bonus episode, please let me know. But in particular, I want to see if we can get some more ones that we wouldn't normally watch. Either something aimed at girls, maybe something obscure.
We could do the old My Little Pony.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, yeah. Or heck, maybe just something from another country. We still eventually want to cover Round the Twist.
Yeah.
Because Jules wants us to cover that one, because that's a weird fucking Australian kid show. But yeah, let us
know. You know what? We should cover that weird kid show from French Canada that Simon's told us about. That he brought it up in reference to the Pineoctopus.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
Telefrance. Yeah, Telefrance.
Yeah, the fucking terrifying pineapple Muppet.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I had forgotten about that nightmare pineapple Muppet.
All right. Well, with images of nightmare pineapple puppets.
I looked into the eyes of that nightmare puppet, and it said to me, "You will never be absolved of your sins."
That's going to do it for us this week. Thanks, everybody, for dealing with our bullcrap. We apologize, but I think we had fun anyway. So we'll see everybody next week. For Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
I may or may not have been Mike.
I've been Matt, and I'm so fucking sorry for that.
I've been Luke.
And may the power protect you always.
Oh, no, look out behind you. It's the pineapple.
No, hurry, hurry. If they see us, they'll make Monster Mush out of us.
Yes,
Oh, yes, Rita could certainly use some new clothes. Very grunge.
We'll just take the whole time capsule back, then put Rita's picture in it.
Yes, that's a good idea.